Hey everyone, it's your host of See Jurassic Right, Stephen Ray Morris here, just dropping in to say I hope you've been enjoying all the new episodes in 2023 and 2024 so far. There are new interviews with filmmakers, musicians, scientists, the screenwriter of Land Before Time, audio essays about the rich history of the Jurassic Park and Jurassic World franchise, and all the news about the upcoming animated show Jurassic World Chaos Theory, and the as-of-yet-untitled Jurassic World sequel coming next summer. I really need your help supporting the show right now, and you can do that by leaving a tip and or giving a monthly follow on Patreon, patreon.com/seejurassicright. There are $1 and $5 tiers, but more is coming. Sharing the show, giving 5-star reviews in Apple Podcasts, and liking and commenting on social, at Stephen Ray Morris on Instagram and Twitter, goes a long way to help boosting the show's visibility again online in this new era. I'm an independent podcaster, and your support is so important and means the world to me in keeping this podcast running. Link to the Patreon is in the show notes. Hold on to your butts. Thank you, and now on to the show.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Filled with awe and fright, see Jurassic Right. Bathed in amber light, see Jurassic Right. See Jurassic Right, right, right. See Jurassic Right, right, right. See Jurassic Right, right, right. See Jurassic Right, see Jurassic Right. See Jurassic Park.
I guess this is the beginning. It's Sarah Iyer.
Oh, my God.
I want to know, because you've mentioned a little bit about seeing Jurassic Park when you were a kid, but this weekend you borrowed. I was talking to somebody the other day about, like, to me, for some reason, Jurassic Park gets replayed a lot on Thanksgiving.
Oh,
like,
really?
Growing up, like, when I had Thanksgiving at my family, like, there'd be, like, the football game, and then, like, Jurassic Park would, like, replay.
Oh, that's funny. I don't remember that, yeah.
This might be, like, a Bernstein Bears kind of, like, thing in my mind, and I might actually go research it, and you might hear, like, a little insert right now of me clarifying this. But in my mind, growing up, as much as I watched Jurassic Park all the time, like, what, like, around Thanksgiving is, like, when everybody else was watching it.
Are you sure you're just not remembering the turkey at Thanksgiving being, like, a dinosaur?
That's true. The 6-foot turkey. That would actually be horrifying.
Yeah, that's the thing. Because we'll talk about me rewatching it, but it's like that line was like, the kid's like, what's scary about a 6-foot turkey? Everything?
Everything. Oh, my gosh. Well, from, I think it's Walnut Creek or, like,
that's where I was born.
Or Danville or, like, one of those areas. I feel like there's a town there where you get off the freeway and there's all these turkeys, like, on the side of the road.
Oh. I don't know. I don't remember that.
So maybe when you were born, there was 6-foot turkeys wandering around your town.
My God. That just sounds like an ostrich, though.
No. Oh, yeah. I guess
it's a 6-foot. They're also terrifying.
Yeah. They're also terrifying.
Oh, they're taller than that, actually.
Ooh. but the thing is, so you do... you've been doing, like, a Thanksgiving movie marathon for a while because Thanksgiving is a
it's a day off. Yeah, my thought process, I think, was I think at some point I was going up to visit my family for Thanksgiving, but they live in Northern California. It's like a 6-hour drive. It's sometimes raining, you know, like I just didn't want to. It wasn't worth it to me to go drive that far just to eat a meal. And then essentially what it is, like, we're not big on holidays. And I think also because I was vegetarian and now I'm vegan. It's like finding somewhere where we can all eat. I mean, my family just goes and eats at a restaurant or a buffet.
Have your parents eat at ever eaten at Margaritaville?
I don't think so. I don't know that. Do they have Margaritaville up there?
Maybe in San Francisco.
Maybe.
But, or Sacramento, maybe.
Yeah. So I decided that what I want to do, and this was when I had a roommate too. I was living with Justin. And Justin's great, but like, you know, when you have a roommate, you never really get to use the living room all the time. And it's like, that's the day where he's definitely gone.
Oh.
So I'm going to use this as a day to do what I want. And I'm going to eat something. It doesn't have to be, you know, related to Thanksgiving. And I'm going to watch a trilogy. And the first year I did it, I did The Matrix trilogy, because Matrix is my favorite movie.
Which we saw this year earlier.
Yeah.
On the big screen.
Yeah. And I did The Matrix trilogy and The Animatrix. And it became a thing where, because I would just drink all day, I would just start drinking a bottle of wine. And by the end, like the third movie, I mean, we'll talk about this related to Jurassic Park because I have a lot of thoughts. But the third movie is usually not the best one. So by the time I watched Matrix Revolutions, I was kind of drunk and it wasn't making any sense. I was like, who are these characters? Why am I watching this?
You're kind of loosened up for the sort of the bad one. Yeah.
Uh-huh. But so I did the Matrix trilogy that year. And then the next year I did The Lord of the Rings Extended Edition, which that bled into Friday. That bled into Friday.
That's quite a jump in running time.
Mm-hmm, yeah, that was rough. I mean, those are great movies, but I would say the Extended Edition is not necessary unless you're just a Tolkien nerd. I imagine you're an Extended Edition fan.
I mean, I feel like Peter Jackson is kind of fair where he's like, yes, these Extended Editions kind of ruin the pacing and they kind of they make the movies a little not as tight and stuff, but he's like, this is meant, like he admits on the commentary, like, look, this is you're spreading this over days, you're getting a cup of tea, you're going to bathroom breaks, maybe you're watching it, you know, you're not going Irishman on this, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, no, I think it does, it would work better if you don't watch them all in one day.
Yeah.
So that was my mistake.
So then you did Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I did Lord of the Rings, and the next year I actually didn't do a trilogy. I did Stranger Things season 2 was out.
Oh, nice.
And so I just binged that.
Okay.
And then the next year I did the Cornetto trilogy.
Oh,
which
awesome.
That one I think was the most solid in terms of all those movies are like really good.
Yeah. And you don't, there's no fatigue in the sense of like,
no.
Because they're
all different too.
Yeah. They're just connected thematically?
Yeah.
Actorly?
Well, they're connected by the Cornetto rapper.
Yeah.
Being in each of them. It's Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and World's End, which are all, like, really great movies.
Well, I like that idea of, like, a filmmaker building their own, like, triple feature kind of playlist.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, there is a familiarity because you have the same actors, Sean Pegg, Simon Pegg, and Simon Pegg. Yeah, Sean Penn. Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. So it almost feels like you're watching the same characters, but not really...
But they're totally different characters, and it totally just works, though. Like, just the filmmaking style, and, like, they're all such fun movies. So that's a trilogy that I would recommend the whole trilogy of, which I can't say for most things.
Yeah.
And so this year I was trying to decide what to watch, and I want to always watch something that I've seen before because I'm usually like, I'm cooking or I'm drinking or, I mean, I wasn't going to drink that much this year because I had to work the next day, but... You know, I just wanted something I could pause and come back to. So I was thinking about doing the Back to the Future trilogy. And I love that trilogy, too. Actually, I think the third one is my second favorite of that trilogy. Yeah. But we were up in Santa Barbara for my favorite weekend. Mm-hmm. We were doing a live podcast. And I was in the hotel room. And, you know, I'm always, like, watching TV in the hotel rooms because I don't have cable.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, you know, like, Ghost Adventures is on or whatever. And I saw that Jurassic Park was on. And I started watching it. And I was just, like, getting ready to leave to go get lunch or something. I just kept coming back to it. And it just... You get sucked into it because it's so good. And I was just like, I want to rewatch it.
Was it playing over the 2 days? Because I felt like one night I saw like The Lost World even like on the TV, but I didn't.
That might have been when we were in Seattle.
Oh, okay. That's so funny.
Because I think I texted you.
Replaying the movie different times.
Yeah,
That's funny.
Yeah, but I was like, well, I want to rewatch Jurassic Park because I haven't watched it since. The last time I saw it was 2013, the 20th anniversary when it was in 3D.
Yeah.
I saw that in the theaters and I was like, well, I haven't seen it since then and it's so good. Why don't I make that my trilogy? Even though I had seen, so I had thoughts already on the second one and the third one because I'd seen them both before. And I was like, I know that they're not as good, and I feel like I really didn't like the third one. In my memory,
yes,
I didn't like the third one at all. But I was like, well, you know, might as well. Like,
well, I was going to say, as far as like real estate goes, like your time spent on these three movies is probably a little bit less than The Matrix,
yeah,
and definitely less than Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
But I want to get your thoughts on that. But like, when was like the first time you saw Jurassic Park, and like, what was that like?
So I did see it in the theater. So it would have been 1993. I was about almost eight. Yeah. Yeah. I was like seven or eight. And it's funny because I do remember the theater I saw it in.
Oh, wow.
Because a few years ago, or I don't know when this was happening, but there was a theater. There's like this Dome Theater in Pleasant Hill, California.
Ooh.
And I saw a news article that they were closing this theater down. And my first thought was, oh, my God, I saw Jurassic Park there. And that's like the only movie where I remember where I saw it. And I'm sure I saw other movies there.
Yeah.
But I was like, I connected that theater with Jurassic Park.
Huh.
And it's this dome that you can see, like you always drive past it and you can see the dome. And
that's awesome.
I looked it up and I, you know, I could just be like remembering wrong, but in my mind, that's where I saw Jurassic Park. And I looked it up and they
the theater was already closed by the time it came in. You're like,
no,
ah.
But I actually found an article about it. It's the CineArts Dome in Pleasant Hill. And people were trying to save it because what happened was it closed down and then they were going to demolish it and then up a Dick's Sporting Goods.
That's such a strange. That's so funny because the theater that I saw Jurassic Park in was it obviously it didn't open like right before Jurassic Park, but it was its opening was also very like that theater was opening in a weird space.
Uh-huh.
So there was some contention around it. So that's funny that the theater that you saw Jurassic Park also was in a. In a state of flux or whatever.
And so they were trying to save it. And apparently it was 46 years old. And if something's 50 years old or older, it's automatically a cultural landmark. So this was 46 years old. So they were trying to save it. They had all these petitions. And then like a weekend went by and they showed up and it was being demolished. Like,
oh no.
They didn't even have time. Like people were really mad. So it
Shit.
Got demolished. Yeah. It was really sad because that was like a landmark and it's gone.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's where I saw Jurassic Park. I mean, I just remember it being like an instant classic. I asked my mom if she remembered anything about us seeing that. She's like, I don't know. I feel like that stuff sticks with you more than it does me. And like, I remember the sequels more. I'm like, okay.
Oh, wow. I like your mom remembers the sequels more.
But I think it's just because when you're a kid and you see something, it just sticks with you in a way that like, you know, when you're an adult, it just doesn't.
It's a weird movie in the sense that like it has scary stuff mm-hmm. and like really happy stuff. So
yeah.
I wonder if that contrast for people who were like, I don't know, between like 4 and 10, it's
mm-hmm.
like this movie's just the bright colors and sounds. And so it makes it more memorable than maybe like other like it was I don't know if because The Fugitive was also 93. And it's like, was that rated R? Like,
I think it was
because it's but it's like I don't feel like that movie is as like candy color. I don't know. But Last Action Hero is also 93. And that movie was kind of a flop. But
well, yeah. I also don't. Because Jurassic Park's PG-13, right?
Yeah.
And so I was like only 7. I feel like my parents were a little strict about, or at least my mom was a little strict about what I could and couldn't see. I mean, I couldn't, like certain R-rated movies she wouldn't let me see. But I don't think there was ever a discussion like, oh, is this movie too, you know.
Scary or
too
anything.
Scary. And I don't remember being scared by it.
Oh, really?
And
okay.
What's funny is I do remember my mom talking to someone about it. And they were asking her if I was like covering my eyes during any of the scenes. And my mom was like, no, but she was covering her ears during parts of it. So I do remember my mom telling someone that I found it very loud, which is so cool because now I go to movies and I'm like, turn it up.
Well, it's funny that you say that because that's definitely something I remember as a kid. It just like the roar of the T-Rex, like that still like sticks with you. Like it's like weird when movies physically, it's almost like the equivalent, like the Jurassic Park still for me. Is like the what we would learn in film school, the train, you know, going against the screen.
At,
you know, it's like for me, it's like when the T-Rex like roars at Grant
you're
in
like,
the rain, your body, like it's almost as if like if we were like thrown in like a tiger cage and like we were seeing a tiger. And if it was 20 feet away, it went
such a perfect like, sound. Yeah.
I mean, you were a cat kid.
Yeah.
Did you like dinosaurs too or no?
No. And that's why I think I was never like asking you to be on this podcast because I'm like, well, I could name like 5 dinosaurs.
I mean,
there's Bill and Fred. No. And
Littlefoot.
Like, I've never read a Michael Crichton book, but I feel like, you know, Jurassic Park's a movie that just everyone loves.
D- did you watch Jurassic Park a lot as a kid, or was it kind of just like the theater?
I think we had it on VHS, so I feel like we watched it. Not on Thanksgiving, yeah. But it was on TV a lot, think. And then I just feel like there was a stretch of time where, like, you know, I didn't have cable. I didn't ever own this on DVD. Like, we had it on VHS. And then, so yeah, I hadn't watched it for a while. And then when I saw it in 3D, that was the first time I'd watched it in a long time. And that was like the most fun. Like, I hate 3D.
Yeah.
But seeing it in the theater was so, it was so fun. I was like, this is the best movie I've seen all year. And it's like 20 years old.
I know, just heard you saying, like, what's the best movie we've seen this year? Oh, The Matrix.
Which is also 20 years old.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've told this story on the podcast before, but just because you're here, it's the, when I saw it, because Dax was sitting next to me for the 20th anniversary. And when the Raptor, you know, Mr. Hammond, I think we're back in business when Laura Dern and the Raptor, Dax like jumped. This is visually, it doesn't translate on the podcast, but Dax like literally probably jumped as high as like my head, you know? And I think there's something you said about a movie where the surprises and scares can still really kind of be effective, you know?
Well, it's filmmaking. This is cinema, like, not to be that person, but it's like, yeah, it's like everything about it, it's like perfectly paced. It's like you have these great moments of quiet and talking, and then you've got like the best framing and the best mise-en-scène or whatever you want to say.
Sarah, you're getting out of your film school.
Sujet and the Fabula. Yeah,
oh,
I don't know.
No.
But yeah, you've just got like the way the dinosaurs are like built up, the way you get like the tension.
Mm.
It's perfect, which is why, I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about the other two films, but when I was rewatching these, I had kind of mixed up The Lost World and Jurassic Park 3. Like, things that I thought I didn't like about Jurassic Park 3 were actually in The Lost World.
Oh, interesting.
But when I was watching The Lost World, I was like, none of that tension was there.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised when I looked it up, like, who directed this? It was Spielberg. And it's like, wait, this doesn't even feel like Spielberg. And I don't, I don't know. It was just like disappointing.
Did you see Lost World and Jurassic Park 3 in theaters?
I don't remember, but I know I did see them as a kid.
Okay.
I have to think we would have seen them in theaters, or at least The Lost World, but I don't have any memory of like when I saw them.
Sure. Yeah. I was actually just thinking, again, this is coming out in, or we're recording this in December, but I actually the other day was like writing down what my first experience was seeing all the Star Wars movies.
Oh.
And it's weird that like, something like The Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones. Obviously, like, I wasn't alive. Yeah, you weren't alive for them either, right? Yeah. Return of the Jedi, right? Return of the Jedi was 83.
No, 83.
Yeah. So, like, obviously, I don't have any memories of those.
Yeah.
But, like, for some reason, I can't remember. I kind of forgot what my first Last Jedi screening was, and I kind of forgot what my Revenge of the Sith screening was.
Yeah.
But for some reason, like, Phantom Menace, like, really stuck in my mind. Attack of the Clones is because it was the date. And it was, like, an awkward, like, 15-year-old date where, like, friend was there and everything. But for me, I think what was – I remembered all my Jurassic screenings because they were all from – the first three were from the same theater. So that made it easier. But I don't know if there was anything inherently memorable about those experiences.
Yeah. No, I don't. Yeah, I don't know when I saw the second or third one. And I know that, I mean, The Lost World, I had probably seen a few times.
Oh, okay.
Because I for sure remembered the beginning part with where the little girl gets attacked. Although I thought that was in Jurassic Park 3. So I think I got that confused. And then I definitely remembered the end where the T-Rex is going through San Diego and houses. Like, that's memorable. I forgot the entire, no, that's not true. I didn't forget the entire middle part. The part where the RV or whatever is going over the side. But I thought that was in Jurassic Park 3. The part with the girl doing gymnastics, I thought was in Jurassic Park 3. So, and Jurassic Park 3, I didn't remember anything from.
Oh.
Even though I know I had seen it. Or I remembered somebody in it being really annoying. And I thought it was the kid. But I think, again, I think I might have gotten that confused with The Lost World. And then the annoying people are the parents.
Yeah,
but they're intentionally annoying.
Yeah.
Because you have to be really, really stupid to do what they did. So can I just say, want to say, originally I thought I liked The Lost World better than Jurassic Park 3.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to be controversial. I don't think it's controversial for you, but just in general, and say that after rewatching them, Jurassic Park 3 was a more enjoyable watch. And I think it's better is not the right word. It's going for less. It's trying less hard.
Oh, I like that. You know, you're.
But it's achieving more because it's not trying as hard.
I really like that. I think that's a really eloquent way of Because lately for me, because my favorite order changes all the time. Mm. Like right now, Jurassic World is actually my least favorite Jurassic Park movie.
Huh.
Because there's so much missing from the movie. Like even the runtime is a half an hour shorter than the other ones.
Jurassic Park 3?
Jurassic Park 3.
Okay.
So to me, it leaves more room to the imagination. It kind of, it can't fail as hard in
a
way.
It's more streamlined.
Yeah.
I hate to use that word. I mean, I don't love Jurassic Park 3, but it's like the story is so straightforward that I found it easier to watch. The Lost World, I think it was muddled because it was trying to do too much. And there were so many characters and so many like little threads they were trying to have. Like, oh, it's Ian Malcolm and his daughter, but they didn't like develop that. And it's like, you know, it's Ian Malcolm and his girlfriend, but you never see them together until they're on the island. And then you're supposed to like her, even though she's like laughing about dinosaurs. And it's like, didn't he tell you about the dinosaurs? Like, you didn't listen. And it's like, I just kind of hated everyone. And I wanted to like, I mean, Ian Malcolm can't, I don't think he can carry his own movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And Alan Grant can,
ooh,
even though he was stupid for going to the island before the check even cleared.
Yeah,
like, come on.
Wait for the check to clear. That's the lesson we have to learn.
I mean, that's the problem I have with like, all the movies is there's never a motivation for them to go back, and they try to like kind of shoehorn one in because you need one.
Yeah.
And it's like, unless it's really, really good, unless it's a really strong motivation, I'm not going to buy the rest of the film. I'm just going to, I don't know.
Well, I think why those second two movies, I think, don't resonate with people, because it's like you literally have to drag your characters kicking and screaming back to the island. And it's just like, it's not compelling enough. I think. Because I accept the premise, then I can kind of enjoy what is there. But I think for me, that will always make certain elements about it seem hollow to me, because it's like, and it's also, it's funny you bring up that point about Jeff Goldblum and Ian Malcolm, where it's like, you almost don't buy that Ian Malcolm would go to an island to rescue a girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
I think
see ya, sweetheart, you know, like,
I think
you're on
been,
your own.
If it had been his daughter, like he had an adult daughter. We don't know how, you know, we didn't know anything about his daughters. I mean, I haven't read the book. So he mentions that he has kids in Jurassic Park.
Yeah, yeah.
He could have an adult child who, for some reason, went to that to me would have been more plausible, that he would go to rescue his kid, as opposed to going to rescue a girlfriend.
Yeah. Well, it's not even rescuing a girlfriend.
No.
It's like he's rescuing somebody out of his own ego to be a hero kind of thing.
And she doesn't even want to be rescued. But
if anything, the one scene in Jurassic Park that might back up his motivation for going to the island in The Lost World is the ego of him getting the second flare. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I want to look sexy and sacrifice myself. It's like, dude, Alan Grant has already got it on lock. You know what I mean? He unnecessarily put him. So in a way that there to me, like, even this is just hitting me right now. Like that maybe is like the through line that you could kind of connect.
No, well, that would have made more sense, because I feel like when The Lost World starts, they're trying to make Ian a different character.
Oh, he's totally
like
he's
been changed from Jurassic Park. So maybe if he hadn't been changed, it would have made more sense that he'd be like, I'm going to go save my girlfriend. But it's like they're trying to make him more serious. And it's like, oh, he's trying to be this father figure now. And then it makes him less interesting.
Yes, I agree. I think that's ultimately, for me. Because, you're right. I'm making this connection because it's like I am such a big fan. Mm-hmm. But it's like it's not really there on paper. I'm creating the subtext to make it more interesting.
Yeah.
Just like how for Jurassic Park 3, I always tell people, like, it's just a black comedy. It's basically because Alexander Payne did a pass of the script.
Oh, yeah. I did see his name in the credits.
Yeah. And you're like, what is that?
Like,
and so for me, it's like if you think of Jurassic Park 3 as a black comedy, like,
it's almost a satire or
something. Yeah. Because it's like Grant is basically like Paul Giamatti. He's like sick of this shit, you know? Like, you know, so to me, it's like, but again, I'm like sort of creating ways of enjoying it more than I.
It does seem intentional. Like Taye Leone and William H. Macy are so over the top stupid that you have to think like they made them this way to be like the stereotype, like these stereotypical characters who are just so dumb. You have to hate them because that's what the script wants you.
Yeah.
To
well, do. It's almost like it's another variation of, and I think it's been said before, but of William H. Macy's like Coen brothers, like Fargo, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like the bumbling and like the idea that the kid is smarter than the parents, which is like, and also the idea, like the movie, I feel like audiences were like loving Ian Malcolm and he's so sexy and cool and whatever.
Yeah.
But then this movie is like chaos, whatever. It's just nonsense, you know? Like the kind of self-seriousness of Malcolm is kind of deflated in references to him.
Yeah.
And then also, like, we all loved Ellie and Grant getting together, right? And then they're broken up. And also, like, the idea that people are like, we love Grant, he's this great dinosaur man. But then at the beginning of Jurassic Park shows that, like, nobody cares about paleontology anymore, and that people are, like, falling asleep during his, it's like,
yeah,
everything is like the fall from grace. It's, yeah, like a, it's like Paul Giamatti, like those kind of characters he play where it's like he's just a sad sack and, like, yeah, nobody cares anymore.
Yeah. Well, and it is funny because when we were chatting about Jurassic Park in the green room, my favorite weekend, I was mentioning that I had completely forgotten or didn't know that Alan and Ellie were even together. But what's funny is that, like, rewatching Jurassic Park, it's like, oh, they're obviously together. I mean, I know he says it, but it's like, even, and you could kind of read that as, like, he's saying it to just because he's interested in her and he doesn't want, you know, Malcolm to, like, make a move on her because he's such a womanizer. But no, they're totally, like, touching each other. The, like, all he's seen, like, he touches her butt. There's, like, I wrote it down. He touches her butt.
Oh, wow. That's an important note.
It's just so weird because I was so much more aware of their relationship when I watched it this time. And that's because I'm just older. And also, Dr. Grant is very attractive.
Yeah. No, yeah.
His eyes
Grant
are so
is daddy,
blue.
You know, like,
yeah,
as opposed to Ian Malcolm.
Yeah.
Oh, the idea of, like, the relationship, because it almost feels, like, more mature, where it's, like, I think as a kid, you're, like, oh, they're not kissing? Well, then they're not together.
It's, like, you're working, you know? You're working together. Yeah. Like, you're not going to make out. Although, yeah, I have seen that picture.
Yeah, I showed you the...
Yeah. Is it, like, a deleted scene or something?
Yeah, it's just, because there's apparently no, like, deleted scenes from Jurassic Park, but over the years, there's just been moments and, like, stuff that's been on, like, trading cards where it's, like, you know, Dr. Sattler and Grant, like, high-fiving. You're like, when are Ellie and Grant high-fiving? Uh-huh. Like, but, you know, stuff like that. And, but yeah, in a way, maybe Spielberg kind of trusted not to have it be over the top or something. Because it is weird to think that those moments could have been in there, but they're not. So it must have been on purpose.
Yeah, he didn't want it to be a distraction, I guess, but...
Or maybe it was kind of, like... I mean, Sam Neill's attractive, Laura Dern's very attractive, but maybe it would have been weird to see them make out because she was, like, 26 at the time and he was, like, 40 and he was already in his
40s. He was, like, 45,
Yeah. So maybe they just were like, eh, this feels a little awkward. And he's kind of a stiff guy in the movie, too.
Yeah, I can't see him, like, you know, being like that. Yeah. You wouldn't want to be, like, all into PDA. You can't see him, like, doing that.
No, Sam Neill doesn't, Dr. Grant doesn't seem like a PDA kind of guy.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, one of the things I don't understand, maybe you've talked about it before, but in The Lost World, nobody believes that the dinosaur thing happened at all because they weren't allowed to talk about it.
Yeah,
do you think Alan and Ellie would have just not talked about it? Like, they would have been okay with not telling anyone? Because it's like, Ian's the only one who's gone on these shows and been like, ah, dinosaurs, and everyone thinks he's just bonkers.
Well, it's hard because it's... I mean, is in that world up until, I mean, it feels weird because it's like after Jurassic World where the world knows about dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. And by the time that movie happens, dinosaurs have become boring and normal.
Yeah.
So it's hard to think of the world from Jurassic World, Park 3 before, because it's like, were these people treated like UFO?
Yeah.
Their lives are ruined, basically, know, like whether or not it's real or not or whatever you believe. I want to believe. But it doesn't seem like Ellie's life is ruined in Jurassic Park 3 or even Grant, But maybe because like Dolly the sheep and stuff was like around in that time. So maybe the leap isn't as hard to make.
Yeah. And it would have been such a big cover up because so many people died, like, I don't know how I would want to see a movie about that. Like, right after Jurassic Park. I want a movie in between Jurassic Park and The Lost World that's, like, the cover-up.
CSI. Or no, it's like X-Files goes to Isla Nublar.
Yeah.
That would have worked. I mean, that was all what X-Files? Did X-Files premiere in 94 or 93?
I want to say 93.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like Mulder and Scully go to Isla Nublar and are like... You know, it's like classic case of dinosaur fetal harvest, or whatever. That's just another
like
crossover.
The Mulder, there's no evidence of dinosaurs.
Exactly.
And she's standing in a big footprint.
Yeah, yeah. Or it's like, look, Scully, look. And she like turns and the dinosaur's like, fuck off or whatever, The T-Rex. Or no, the,
she gets
like
her,
hides.
Like 5 seconds too late to see the dinosaur.
You know,
like, Mulder, I don't know why you brought me here.
It's like, who do you think ate off the person's, like, who ripped this person in half? Who ate the lure off the toilet? Like,
well, it could have been spontaneous,
toilet
ripping
combustion.
In half.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. I feel like in the 90s they had these, like, comic book crossovers.
Yeah,
this would have
yeah.
been a really cool crossover. Uh-huh. See, Mulder and Scully go to the island and, like, investigate.
But yeah, this is kind of just talking about it now, it's like, this is a problem I have with sequels sometimes. It's a problem I had when I watched the Matrix trilogy, where it's like I wanted the second Matrix movie to take place right after the first one, where like Neo is still learning how to use his powers, whereas Matrix Reloaded takes place when he's a god. Everyone knows about him and he's invincible. And it's like I want that movie that's like right after the previous one. That's what I want for Jurassic Park.
I wonder if that's why some people have a hard time with Last Jedi, because it is like a breaking formula idea of like, of all the other Star Wars movies, it's like some as much as like 10, 15 years or whatever to 6 months to a year between the movies, whereas like Last Jedi is immediately after. So like our conceptions of like what character growth is like all that's kind of the conventions of it are kind of thrown out the window.
That's true. I guess that's more common now because of like the cinematic universes and stuff. It is just a big TV show.
Yeah.
So maybe if they did make Jurassic Park now, like it would be, just one after the other.
Yeah.
Well,
I think that's why people sometimes were almost a little bit weirded out by like the difference between Claire and Jurassic World and then in Fallen Kingdom, where it's like she's this business person. Obviously, she went on this journey, and I think you can, without reading filler things or whatever, you can extrapolate that this changed her and now she's become this animal activist. But like, I think, we are used to character growth is slower in a way.
Yeah.
And it's more, and it's the, not a, like the graph is more, there was a big difference between like Luke in A New Hope and then when you see him in Empire Strikes Back, but we didn't have a problem with it. You watch it now and you're like, everything tracks in between.
It does work. I don't feel like that's missing an in-between movie.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just wonder. But the same thing with Lost World where it's like, I feel like, I don't know, it's like hard to like wrap your head around the jump from Grant and Malcolm Lost World. But it's also like, cause they're tricked to go in. So it's almost like it's less dependent on their character change.
Uh-huh. Well, I also feel like Alan works, like his change works between Jurassic Park and Jurassic Park 3.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think Jurassic Park 3 is a better movie. Weird to think that.
Well, I was going to say, so like just overall when you were rewatching, like what are some of the like big takeaways?
Ooh, I wrote notes while I was watching.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet of you to write notes.
Well, I just didn't want to forget things. Okay. So my notes for Jurassic Park. Oh, just like the Universal logo always reminds me of Jurassic Park, no matter what movie I see it in. He's a digger. Love that line. He touched her butt. I wrote that down. A 6-foot turkey is scary. I like that Dr. Grant isn't threatened by Dr. Malcolm and like he's touching Ellie and stuff. And Ellie's like, hey, Alan, look at this. And he's just like looking out the window like he doesn't even care. I love that.
Well, I almost feel like Ellie Sattler's kind of like a troll. Like she kind of has fun, like kind of digging at him. She kind of has fun.
Well, she's like kind of flirting. Like she's not discouraging him.
Yeah.
She's
down to clown and have a good time.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like she's the only character that is actually like having any fun in the movie. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I like that about their relationship too, is that they don't feel, there's not this like competition with other men. Alan's just like, no. I mean, until he asks him, like, oh, is she seeing anyone?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, why? You know, what do you want to know? He's honestly a little bit of a grump, but
yeah, yeah.
That's probably why I like him. Let's see. Yeah, that's kind of all I have for that. Oh, so for The Lost World, I have, I think this was even when I put the is it a DVD or a Blu-ray? It's a Blu-ray.
Yeah.
When I put the Blu-ray in and the menu came up, I was like, is that Vince Vaughn? I totally forgot. He looks different. I like him.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't remember his character at all. I don't remember most people's characters. Yeah, there's like no dinosaur buildup. The scenes aren't memorable. It's muddled. There are no cool deaths. I wanted cool deaths. You have so many cool deaths in Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
And this is just like, oh, hey, there are dinosaurs there. They're going to eat that guy in the car.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, Eddie Carr getting like ripped in half, like wishbone is kind of cool a little bit.
Yeah.
And the compies eating Peter Stormare.
Little ones?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun.
I wanted more from that, though. I don't know.
Well, I think The Lost World, I think to me, like thinking about Jurassic Park, it's like it has so little characters and they're used so well. And it just feels like you almost wish there was like less characters in The Lost World. Just feels like there's just so many anonymous people being stomped by dinosaurs.
Exactly. You don't, because it's like, okay, you have this group of people. They literally have fly in way too many characters. Because I'm like, I also didn't even understand the story.
Ludlow was just like, here's the bait, you know?
Yeah. I don't understand. I don't know. We won't even get into it. But I was like very confused about like what was happening in terms of the company. And like they were going to bring dinosaurs back, but this other group is here to document the dinosaurs. Or are they there for bait? Or what is going on? And it's like, I don't understand. Am I supposed to hate these characters who are flying? Who am I supposed to like? And it's like, who? I can't tell you anything about any of the characters. Even the gymnast girl. Okay, they set up that she's a gymnast. And then it's also so Ian can say, they cut you from the team?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Like, it's also, I mean, as much as I like enjoy that scene for its campiness now, it is crazy brutal. Because like... I was like, I don't really want to see dinosaurs hurt in my Jurassic Park movies. I don't want to see, because I feel like there is a contingent of Jurassic Park people who love like military and, you know, shooting up the dinosaurs. It's like, no, I don't want anyone shooting up my dinosaurs.
Yeah. Or where you're seeing them all like tied up. I thought it was a thing where one of them, because he said he wanted to hunt a T-Rex, but he just wants to bring it back. But I was like, oh, are these people like trying to hunt the most dangerous game? And it's like, I don't want to see that, you know?
Well, yeah, I almost think for me, like thinking about it now a lot, it's unsatisfying in a sense because it's like, I like these characters, but I don't feel like you have enough time with any of them to really develop them in a way that like, because I like, which I can't even remember, Arliss Howard, who plays Hammond's nephew, you know, who gets eaten by the baby T-Rex at the end, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's kind of a fun, businessy villain in that way, but he doesn't...
like the lawyer a little
bit. Yeah, yeah, but he doesn't get any, like, good moments, you know?
Like the lawyer does in Jurassic Park. He has such good lines and, like, such funny things that he says where he's like, oh, the blood-sucking lawyer. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
I love that. Like, we don't get that. Yeah, there's like too many characters. It feels like it needed another rewrite of the script.
Well, yeah, at least as far as like the history is now, it's like, I mean, Spielberg said even like while he was making, he was kind of like bored. I mean, he had to like bully Michael Crichton into writing a sequel book just to have that legitimacy of having it be based off a book, even though he didn't use any of the book, basically.
I have a theory that, okay, remember when we were talking about We're Back and it's like Spielberg left We're Back. He kind of was like not involved with that because he was busy making Jurassic Park. What if he was like too busy making Saving Private Ryan and he's like, oh, The Lost World, I don't have time for that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely feel like he's gone on record of being like, because really other than Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull, well, I guess all the Indiana Jones movies or the sequels, like Jurassic Park was really the first, or Lost World was like the first sequel after those Indiana Jones movies. But the Indiana Jones movies were less serious.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's, it's almost like maybe that's why he, like when they were finishing the script, he threw out the whole ending of the movie and did the whole San Diego stuff. Because he was just like, I'm not having any fun. Yeah. Let's make something fun. Let's have him be in the city.
And that's the most fun part, I think.
But then it's like weird because it feels like the middle of the movie kind of still feels like the ending. And then you have a whole new ending.
Yeah.
The only thing that has been my saving grace for Lost World in terms of liking it more
I had Annie on, mm-hmm. our friend Annie on, a long time ago for the Lost World episode because she's been such a big champion. Oh. She, you know, dresses up like the little girl and has the blood all over her dress, like from the beginning. Funny. But she, the way that she kind of like reframed my mind to make me like it more is almost like, think of it as like a King Kong structure where you're on the island and then you're in the city.
Well, yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. I can now get on board with that a little bit. But it is also weird of like, where is Vince Vaughn? Like, why does he just, you think he would be, like, I feel like you have to do a lot of hula hoops to, like, a lot of hula hoops. You have to jump
jumping through hoops.
You have to jump through a lot of hoops to be, like, where, like, okay, maybe they said for Vince Vaughn not to come because they need to go in incognito, but how can you go incognito when you're trying to, like, track down a giant T-Rex?
Yeah, who's, like, eating people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, Annie, and then also my other guest on the episode, Megan Baker. Mm. Who's been on the podcast?
Yeah.
Everyone's been on the podcast. Yeah, basically everyone has been on the podcast. We were all joking about how like maybe Vince Vaughn was babysitting Kelly. Owen was, Nick was babysitting Kelly and they were playing Sega. And that's why, because they were like, well, maybe Ludlow and InGen will come after Kelly. So we need somebody to protect her while we go take the Rex and everything.
Would have been nice to see.
I mean, look, de-aging technology is all the rage now. Yeah. Vanessa Lee Chester, she still looks amazing. We don't need to de-age her. Right. She could play her 12-year-old self or 15-year-old self or whatever. Just get Vince Vaughn in that de-aging footage and just do a short film of like them watching the news and then playing Sega Genesis and stuff.
I would watch that. Yeah. It, what's weird is that The Lost World feels both bloated and missing stuff.
Yes.
But also in terms of like the visual effects, because I feel like, oh, visual effects must have gotten better over the years between those two movies. But I think that's almost to the detriment of The Lost World. And I don't know if this is true, but like I watched Jurassic Park and I'm like, this looks amazing. The effects are still great.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm also like, well, they use them so sparingly in Jurassic Park. There are scenes where it's like, you remember there being dinosaurs in all these scenes, but even like the scene where the two kids are running through the kitchen, it's like, oh, you see a little bit of a tail and then the pot falls off. And it's like, that's how you see dinosaurs, where it's like, you're getting these glimpses of dinosaurs. That's more scary, where it's like, maybe they had all this technology later and they're like, let's just put the whole T-Rex in at once here and the whole thing. And it's too much. Like, I don't want to see dinosaurs all the time. Well, I want to feel like dinosaurs are always like around, but not there.
I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. Well, I think, just us being in the industry and knowing a lot about visual effects, like, I feel like it's that thing of, we'll fix it in post. We can't figure it out now. So we'll just throw in a whole dinosaur in. And I think Spielberg, I think, was so afraid of when he made Jurassic Park. Is this stuff going to look bad? He let's just do it as little as possible.
Yeah.
I feel like, by the time The Lost World, they were like less afraid, but to a detriment in a way of like, I at least know one example of like when the Stegosaurus was like swinging at Julianne Moore. And they had an animatronic on set and it just wasn't kind of fast enough and what they wanted. So they were like, well, we'll just do it CGI, you know, because Spielberg is really good with post usually. Like War of the Worlds, like if you watch that making, like they literally like shot all the visual effects scenes in the first 2 weeks so that they had time to get the film out by the next summer. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
Let's get this out on a tray. Sorry, I just thought there was another Steve.
Yeah. But yeah, there's like no buildup. There's no magic in The Lost World. Maybe there shouldn't be because it's like, okay, obviously dinosaurs are this magical thing in the first one and then they're just scary in the second one. But like, I cried. I cried during Jurassic Park when they first see the dinosaurs. Music. Like
that's still a fight. Yeah.
Yeah. That scene will always make me cry. And it's like, you see the dinosaurs in The Lost World and it's like, oh, there they are. All right.
Well, I think that's been a hard thing for those movies to replicate is like you can never like, we want to be excited about seeing dinosaurs, but how do you?
You can never see them for the first time more than once.
Oh.
Yeah. Let me just see if I have anything else about Jurassic Park 3. The people seem stupider. That's so funny. Nobody move a muscle and then they run. They're just stupid.
Yeah.
I get it. It's like, I would be like that on an island with dinosaurs. Maybe that's why I just relate to the most stupid people in the movie, because I'm like, I would be yelling for my kid and not
Yeah, no, you're not trained for that.
And then, yeah, why wouldn't he wait for the check to clear? 3 exclamation points. Always wait for the check to clear, freelancers.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think of these? Because, you know, the whole point of your marathon is that it's a trilogy. I mean, what is, how does this have, like, does this, do these movies work as a trilogy?
Not in the same way. Like, I mean, it's weird because I held up the
you can hear the Blu-rays I'm holding up right now.
They don't, I mean, not really. They don't feel like they go. And I think even like the Matrix trilogy, that to me works, but it's also because I don't know. These feel like they're done by completely different people.
Yeah.
Which they're not. I mean, well, maybe the writers are different, but it's like, oh, even the first one and the second one, they don't feel like, you know, the first one feels like Spielberg, the second one does not. So even with the same director, it just doesn't feel like the same people. Like all the trilogies I've watched have been the same people making those movies.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's why they feel more cohesive. And even like the Cornetto trilogy, they're not even the same characters.
Story,
and they still feel more cohesive than these.
Yeah, yeah.
Jurassic Park 3 feels like a movie that they would show on TV a lot. It feels like a movie that you watch on TV and it has commercial breaks.
I mean, hey, like I said, it's 90 minutes. It's a half an hour shorter than the other ones.
But again, I don't hate it. I mean, it's so, like, again, it's so, everything in it's so obvious. And maybe I just wanted an easy watch after The Lost World. I wanted something that made sense. And it's like, even, what's his name? Bill, what was his name? The guy who, like, eggs.
Oh, Billy Brennan.
Billy, yeah. It's like, it's so obvious that he did something because he's like, hey, can I have that? Can I have that backpack? And it's like, you're not, there's no even, like, subtlety in that. It's like, we know he did something bad. Redeemed himself.
Yeah. You know?
And then he was still alive at the end. It's like, kind of not. I don't know. I even like watching Jurassic World. I mean, I have issues with Jurassic World, with the Jurassic World movies. And like sometimes I just want a movie where somebody, you think they died and it's like, oh, they're actually okay. Like, I don't want everyone to die.
Yeah.
I don't want these horrible deaths for characters that don't deserve it. It's like maybe Billy even deserved it and he was still okay. And I was rooting for him. I'm like, oh, because he redeemed himself and now he's fine and I'm happy. Like, I don't always want a movie where everyone dies.
Yeah.
You know?
You're not in the Game of Thrones thing.
No.
Well, I mean, even Udesky in the movie, I feel like he was just
Which one was that?
He was Michael Jeter. He was like William H. Macy thought he was like a mercenary. He was just kind of like in over his head as well, too.
That's
just
the one guy who I was like, wait, I don't even remember what happened to him. Yeah. He was just gone at one point. Like, I think I'm sure he got eaten, but
yeah.
I'm like, wait, that guy was, he was the scary guy on the plane, right?
Yeah. The guy on the plane that punched Grant was the first guy to die.
Uh-huh.
Where he's like, they take off without him, you know?
Oh, yeah. It was so funny because, again, not being subtle, like, I forget what he says. They're like, who are you?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'm just like their friend or something. But it's like, you're clearly like some scary person.
Yeah. Hey, mercenaries have friends too.
But I think I like Jurassic Park 3 because it's almost, it's not a B movie, but it's almost trying to be a B movie.
Yes. Yeah. I totally agree with that.
Yeah. So I appreciate that more than like a movie that's trying to do something good and it just fails.
Well, I feel like Jurassic Park 3 is a campy movie where Lost World is a movie that's trying too hard to be a campy movie.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Something
I don't know.
Something like that. Because,
you know, again, I think when Annie was talking about the King Kong stuff and I was like, oh, okay, now I can kind of see the kind of pulpy, like fun jungle stuff. But it's like a movie where everyone's in a bad mood. Nobody wants to be there.
Well,
except for Kelly.
There's like one part.
And Julianne Moore.
Yeah. There's like one part where they're all joking around and it doesn't make any sense because it's when they're hanging from that rope.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, can you give me a cheeseburger or something? It's like, you guys haven't been like having fun the whole movie. And now you're about to die because you're hanging from a rope and you're joking. It doesn't fit. It doesn't make any sense.
I wonder if that movie would, like, if that movie had been made during like the early years of like Marvel stuff. Because people like sarcastic, quippy, people kind of bickering with each other stuff, you know? I don't necessarily like that, but
It has to work. Like, I feel like in Guardians of the Galaxy, for example, it really works. But I feel like in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, it's like too much. It's like, okay, can you be serious for a minute? You're like doing this serious thing and you're making a joke. And it's like, I just want you to focus on this thing.
Focus on the story.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. So, I don't know. It's hard.
Yeah.
Do you have time for a little rapid fire?
Yeah.
This has been awesome. Sarah, they give you the keys. You're like, we can bring back dinosaurs tomorrow, but is there a compelling reason why we should do it?
No, there is not.
Is there any? No.
Well, because I agree with Ian, where he was saying that, like, this isn't some species that we killed from deforestation, or, you know, it's not condors that were around just really recently. Nature chose them to not exist. So I agree with Ian.
Nice. Would you say Jurassic Park is Spielberg's best movie?
You know what? I'm going to say yes. But I also don't have his filmography in front of me. I also can't remember what he's done really recently. I feel like I haven't seen a Spielberg movie that's
felt we saw Ready Player One.
Oh my God. I forgot that was him. That was like the last so bad.
I was like, that was the last movie, I think. Oh, wait. We didn't see it together, though. But that was like one of the last movies that we both saw that we.
Well, you saw it in the theater. I saw it at work multiple times. Oh, God, that was bad. I remember that, yeah, in the behind-the-scenes stuff, Spielberg's, like, playing with, you know, there's, like, a thing where you can see the VR, or the, not the VR, I keep going, it's like a game,
yeah.
Where he could see the visual effects, and he's, like, you can tell he's just having fun with the technology, but it's, like, that's not making a good movie, like.
That's like Grandpa with the Wii on Christmas, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, look, you could bowl, you know?
Wait, what else has Spielberg done? What am I missing?
Indiana Jones, yeah. Jaws, Schindler's List.
I think Jurassic Park is the best one. I think. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I feel like it's the height of his, like, action.
I mean, I think it's a perfect movie. Again, it's cinema.
Ooh, well, what's one thing from Jurassic Park you don't like? If there's something in the movie that you would say doesn't hold up or, like.
I mean, it's not that I don't like it, but I think I even mentioned it to you that there's a part where they all jump out of the cars as they're moving. And Hammond's like, oh, I told you we should have put locks in the cars. And it's like. Yeah, of course you should have. I mean, like, why is that? Why that?
Somebody
me is
should
just
be fired.
Like, yeah, it's like, you know, he spares no expense, but then it's like, oh, he forgot to put the locks. Oh, I also like wasn't entirely sure because Nedry mentioned something about money, and they have this conversation that I'd forgotten about, where Nedry and Hammond are talking and they're kind of arguing, and Hammond's like, look, I don't care about your financial problems. And I feel like that part was a little unclear because I didn't really exactly know what Nedry's whole deal was. And why would you hire him? Did you like how did the hiring process work for you to get Nedry? And these aren't problems I have. They're just questions.
Sure.
Yeah, I still think the movie works and I don't question it. But like, you know, I'm just like, I want to know more. Maybe it's in the book more extensively.
Not really. But I mean, it is that thing of like, because there's that meme going around of like, spared no expense, hired one IT guy.
Yeah, exactly.
And so sometimes you wonder, like, were those kind of things of like Hammond kind of cheaping out on certain things, is that actually something that was inherent to the writing of the movie, where it's like, there is that contradiction of like, he says spared no expense.
Yeah.
And that's why it's supposed to fail, because he's actually like taking these shortcuts.
Many expenses. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
But it's all like smoke and mirrors. You know, he's like, look how great my park is, but also like, I don't want to spend my money.
Yeah.
Well, again, there are a lot of flaws with this park, but I think we know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so these are some fun ones. And again, thank you, Sarah, for being on.
Oh, thank you.
This fun. Would you go to Jurassic Park? I think that's always that's a.
That's a wait. No, this is a world where I haven't seen Jurassic Park the movie.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I think that's a good. Yes, I think that would.
You
be
know, I wouldn't, because I think ethically I'm against. I have a problem with animals in captivity, and I think also just the fact that I've already said that I'm against, you know, bringing dinosaurs back. And, you know, I think the third reason is that I would be scared of getting eaten. But I think it's those first two reasons. It's like, I wouldn't feel right about them bringing back these animals, not knowing, you know, like they even say in Jurassic Park, you don't know their ecosystem. You don't know what they want. Or even in, which one was it? Oh, Jurassic Park 3, where the dinosaurs are really smart and talking to each other. I forgot that even happened. That's so funny.
Alan.
It's like, yeah, you don't know how smart they are. Like, you are not equipped to handle these animals, and they should not be here. So, no, I wouldn't.
Yeah, you don't even know what you're messing with.
I'll look at everyone's Instagram stories who was going.
Hashtag Jurassic Park opening weekend.
Wait, why did this person's stories just end with this, like, T-Rex right there?
So then, I guess I know the answer to this question. I mean, if you had survived going to Jurassic Park and shit breaks loose, you would not be a fan of dinosaurs after that.
No. And I would be just really mad that, like, this happened. I would feel bad for the dinosaurs, honestly. Like, you know, it's like when a tiger gets loose from somebody has a tiger and and the tiger eats the person or something. You don't feel bad for the person. You feel bad for the tiger because a tiger is probably going to get put down. And it's like these animals, they didn't ask to be here, you know?
They don't know what century they're in, and they'll defend themselves dangerously.
Exactly. Even. Like, they're wild animals. We need to respect them. So I just feel bad for them. But yeah, I would get out. I would get out of there.
This is a really dumb question. If you had the power to send in the U.S. military to rescue your ex stuck on an island of dinosaurs, would you?
No, not at all.
You could pick up the phone and you're like, your ex is like, help, I'm trapped on an island of dinosaurs. And you're like, you could make the call and rescue them in 5 minutes.
No, not at all. They deserve what they get. But if my ex was Dr. Grant, he wouldn't be my ex.
That's true.
What I'm saying. Anyway.
I mean, if you were going to be, speaking of dinosaurs and attacking people and stuff, if you could, what would be your method of choice of dying by a dinosaur?
Ooh.
And I don't say just eaten, because you can get, you know, stepped on and stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh my God. What would be my ideal way of dying? I think I'd want to be like cuddled up with like a Triceratops, because that actually is my favorite dinosaur, but it's probably just because it has my name in it. I'm probably because of Land Before Time and like her name is Sarah. But I'd want to be like snuggling with like a Triceratops, and then she like rolls over and I get crushed.
Oh my God. That's really inventive.
Because I always think like dying in my sleep is probably better anyway. So yeah.
I love it. That actually, I really liked. Everyone's coming up with so many great creative answers. Obviously, I think if you're presented with, I mean, there's so many opportunities, but I feel like it goes back to your ethical thing. Like, if the situation of Fallen Kingdom was happening, would you, you know, help save the dinosaurs, or would you be like, no, just let them get eaten by the volcano?
I mean, I feel like once you bring an animal back, you're responsible. Like, yeah, I think, because there are a lot of like places where you're not allowed to interfere with animals, like the turtles on the Galapagos Islands. Like, you're supposed to let them hatch, and if birds are attacking them, you're not supposed to interfere. Okay. But I feel like if you've ruined the environment or you've brought an animal back, you're responsible for that. So I feel like there has to be a way to save those dinosaurs, but to also prevent, just like, can we like spay and neuter the dinosaurs so they're not like?
Are you saying TNR dinosaurs?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Adopt, don't shop, you guys.
Yeah. So we just need to stop the population from continuing to grow, because we can't have dinosaurs, you know. But it's like, we shouldn't just kill them because we brought them here. So we need to come up with a plan. I would want to save them, but also have a plan for, like, how do we not have any more dinosaurs?
Yeah, yeah. Well, speaking of that, too, it's like, so we have a world where dinosaurs are with us. Like, how would you want them to be in your life?
Like, they're, like you know, they're with us in terms of, like, at the end of Fallen Kingdom, they're with us, or?
Yeah, kind of like dinosaurs are just in the world. Oh, maybe if it's even world. Accelerated, like, Dinotopia style, where it's, like, you know, they could be anything to us, or even like Flintstones or something.
Oh, or like, what's that movie with Whoopi Goldberg? Theodore Rex?
Yeah, Theodore Rex.
Where they've evolved.
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen that movie,
but. Or the Super Mario Brothers movie?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I would want them to just be like evolved a little bit, where they're not really eating us, you know?
They're just like hot lizard people.
Yeah.
Or feathers.
Yeah. Oh my God. The Super Mario Brothers movie. It's
that also came out in 1993.
I did it, because I recently rewatched that.
Oh, really?
It's bad, but it could have been good. I think a good Mario movie exists, and I think I would like to read the original script for that movie, because the script changed a lot.
Yeah,
you could do a whole. If you ever do a podcast about that movie, bring me back on.
Okay, yeah, yeah, totally. We'll totally do that. Well, thank you, Sarah.
Thank you. This is so much fun.
since I was a child. I tried to be what I am not. I lied and enjoyed it all my life. I lied to my dear mother, to my sisters and my brother. Now I'm lying to my children and my wife. Big hat, no cattle, big head, no brain, big snake, no rattle, I'll forever remain. Big hat, no cattle, and I knew it from the start. Big bow, no paddle, big ballet, no heart.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.